You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to This is the Jet Life with Dan Burnham, your guide to the New York Jets, sports, and much more. And now, your host, Dan Burnham.
What is up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of This is the Jet Life. This is probably my favorite episode of the entire year, where we get to review free agency to see how Joe Douglas addressed the salary cap space that the team had, the positions of need, and how we're going to approach the 2024, the next upcoming season, right? And now, 2 weeks into free agency, basically, we've seen 95% of the big moves happen already. Of course, free agency never ends. It's an ongoing thing. You can always add new players that are not under contract. But so many guys sign in those first few days. Joe Douglas very active in wave two of free agency. But at this point, we've spent a lot of the salary cap. There's still maybe a move or two to be made before the draft that could be, you know, very exciting, spicy moves for the team. We're going to talk about some of those. But for the most part, we can kind of see where the team is headed for 2024 and what kind of goals and visions the team has. So I'm looking forward to this one. There's a lot to get to in it. We're basically going to go over some of the quick news in the NFL and some of the quick Jets news. And then last episode, I made a rankings of the positions of need on the team for 2024. What we're going to do is we're going to go in reverse order of those positions and just discuss how the team has addressed that position, if they have at all. What players might still be available, how much money they spent, and all that. I've got a nice father time in this one. I've got a bizarre what's on tap for this episode, and I can't wait to get into it. So that's this week's episode, and then I'm going to do a draft preview probably like April 16th. That's a Tuesday. The draft is Thursday, April 25th, the 26th, and the 27th. So I'm going to do a preview at least a week before that, and then I'll do a review of the draft sometime after that, whether it's the following Tuesday or the week after that. And then I'm going to take a break, as I always do, and probably come back for training camps, do a training camp preview, unless something crazy happens to the team. They go out and make a wild, splashy move, a big-time trade. We'll do an emergency podcast, but that's kind of how I see this thing playing out for the schedule coming up. So as always, I want to remind you to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. It's part of the Fans First Sports Network. Also, follow me on Twitter at Jets_Dan. Let's get into this thing. Starting with NFL news, a couple things happened. The league made some changes. There's a new kickoff alignment. Basically, instead of having all the players kicking, lining up with the kicker, and then running at the kick of the ball towards the return team, what they're going to do is they're going to have the the 10 players from the kickoff team and the basically 10 players from the returning team standing like 10 yards apart at the middle of the field. Once the kicker kicks the ball and it's either hits the ground at the return man or the return man catches it, that's when all the players can move. It's basically supposed to try to make the kickoff a little bit more impactful to the game. Over the past 10 years, it's basically become so lame that it's not even an important part. Most people just boot it out of the end zone. The goal is that now there will be more returns and it'll be a lot safer because the players, instead of running the entire field head first into each other, they're only going to have about 10 yards of space. Not as much speed, not as much collision impact. I'm okay with it. We'll see how it works. If it's going to make the kickoff a little bit more fun, I'm all for it. One move I'm not as excited about is the NFL is trying to ban hip drop tackling, which is a very confusing thing right now. But it's basically a defensive player grabbing an offensive player, dropping their hip to the ground, using gravity to help collapse the player. A lot of times you'll see it with like a cornerback trying to tackle a big running back. If the NFL doesn't want the cornerback or the smaller player to drop their hip to the ground, they're basically going to get taken for a ride, hanging on their back, waiting for another player to come and clean up the tackle. I get it. I know what they're trying to do. There's kind of two schools of thought here. On one side, you want to make the game safer, and not just for the players in it, but you want to make sure that you have youth playing football. Right now, the guys coming into the draft started playing football 10, maybe 15 years ago. Right? So back then, the rules were a little bit different. People weren't as worried about head stuff. Now that all this concussion stuff has come out, CTE stuff has come out, less parents are putting their kids into football, and the NFL worries that if the game is too dangerous, that the 7-year-olds today won't want to be in the draft in 10, 15 years from now. And I understand that because you do want to have those players. But at the same time, football is a somewhat dangerous sport. And if you pull away all of the physicality from it and you try to make it essentially flag football one day, the league will fail as well. So they kind of have to find a happy medium. I think right now they're being a little bit too cautious with the injuries. I get head stuff. I get making sure a player doesn't get CTE, long-term things. But when it comes to like lower body injuries that you mostly get from hip drop tackles, that stuff's not as long-term. You can recover from an ACL pretty well, right? Maybe it will hurt your NFL career, but it's probably not going to ruin your life the way something like CTE would. So not something that I'm super thrilled about for this year, but we'll see how it gets implemented. Kind of some confusion on whether or not it's going to be Tuesday fines for players, if there's going to be penalties in game, if it's going to be as needed, they can kind of scale it on how egregious it is in the moment. It's going to be probably a little bit of a shit show at times with the NFL refs. They already have enough trouble with the rules as it is. Let's make it a little bit more complicated for them. We'll see how it plays out, but I know the NFLPA is trying to fight back on it a little bit. Aside from that, they've decided to move the trade deadline to week 9, so it's pushed back 1 week. Gives teams a little bit longer of an opportunity to see if they're still in the playoff hunt and whether or not they want to make moves right at the trade deadline. Trade deadline's becoming a little bit more popular to make moves than it used to be. Not much used to happen like 10, 15 years ago. Nobody would do anything at the trade deadline, maybe one or two moves. Now it's like, all right, time to either sell or buy and gear up for the next year. So I think having it in week 9 is actually going to increase that a little bit, maybe some more activity for the trade deadline. The last bit of NFL news that kind of impacts the Jets here is there was an NFL trade regarding the draft. The Vikings traded with the Texans to get pick number 23. And this is interesting because the Vikings already hold pick number 11, which is one after the Jets in the first round. The Jets hold 10, the Vikings hold 11. Now the Vikings have pick number 23. They gave away some other picks and some stuff in the future. What's important to me is that the Vikings potentially are looking to get a quarterback. They don't really have one on the roster right now. I know they picked up Sam Darnold. I like him. But do they see him as the end-all, be-all? Probably not going to put all their eggs in that basket. Jaren Hall drafted out of BYU last year. I don't think he's ready to play. So they need to get a quarterback. Now they have two picks in the first round. Very easy for them to potentially get up to maybe pick number 5, 6, 7, 8. Up in that range, since they have a little extra ammo. I see that happening. And if they do, that just kind of changes the whole board as we see it, right? We already kind of have an idea of what some teams are going to do, who's going for quarterbacks, who's going for receivers or offensive line. If the Vikings jump in front of the Jets or another team tries to do that, it's going to change the way the Jets go about things. So when you see all those mock drafts and stuff, just know there's a lot of stuff in the works behind the scenes as well that could impact what we might think is a sure thing today or an obvious landing spot for a player. a lot is going to happen. That is the NFL news for this podcast. Talking Jets news, quick note, Woody Johnson said that Zach Wilson's going to remain on the team if no trade partner is found. I think that makes sense. There's no reason to get rid of him and just eat the $8 or $11 million that's dead cap for him. Keep him on the team behind Aaron Rodgers and Tyrod Taylor. Have him be the third quarterback for now. And then if you draft another quarterback, you can keep him as the fourth guy. You can cut him way later in the year, but I think it's worth bringing him at least through training camp if you don't have a trade partner, because guys are going to go down. People will get hurt. Teams won't like the guys that they have or think they need to do something. And even if you can pull a sixth rounder and get rid of half of that salary, that would still be a win for the Jets. So hold on to him for now. I don't think he's a big enough locker room problem or like, oh, we can't have him here. I hear all these people that are like, well, he can't be on the team anymore. It's like, why? Is he making a huge distraction? Is he saying horrible things? The guy's fine. He's getting paid $11 million this year. He'll play NFL football again. It's not going to be a starter for any team this year, barring injuries somewhere. So let him just chill. He's fine. Get some value for him at some point. And the really good news is CJ Mosley signed a new contract with the Jets. This is huge for us because it gives the Jets so much more financial flexibility for this free agency period, for this offseason. And the moves that we're going to talk about upcoming, a lot of them are possible because of CJ Mosley's new contract. Basically, this year, he was going to play a final non-guaranteed season. This was the last year under contract for him. He was going to be getting a non-guaranteed $17 million, and the cap hit for him would be $21 million. He had no real insurance on that because it wasn't guaranteed, and we were going to be giving him $21 million, which is a massive hit for him. What he did was he signed a two-year deal for $17 million with $13 million guaranteed. So he finally has some true guaranteed money in $13 million, but he also extends that contract 2 years. So instead of this being his final year under contract, we get two, and they're cheaper both years. This is fantastic for the team. It gives us CJ Mosley for one more year at a better price, saves us money today, gets us the player for longer. And even if CJ Mosley isn't the player that he was last year, this year, or is even slightly worse the year after that in 2025, he's still such an important locker room presence and saving the money. It's just a no-brainer, a fantastic thing. Thank you, CJ Mosley, for making this this awesome team-friendly deal for us and helping us to get in position to make some of these moves that we're about to talk about. So let's get into it, because it's the bulk of the episode and there's a lot to get to and a lot of information. We had a lot of positions in need, a lot of guys that we wanted to go after, and only so much money. We went into this thing with like $26, $27 million of salary cap space. CJ Mosley opened the Jets up another $14 million. And the Jets were able to do some void contract years and stuff to kind of stretch the salary cap a little bit as well. What we're going to do is we're going to talk about the positions of need that we established last episode. Going through those real quick, the number one need for the team, offensive tackle. This is all going into free agency, right, before any moves were made. The number two need was interior offensive line. So offensive line was by far the focus. I thought three, backup quarterback, super important, because if Aaron Rodgers goes down, which is very possible, we need to make sure that the floor of this team is higher. We can't hit that Tim Boyle floor again and just have a miserable season. We have to at least have something in place to keep the season alive. Number four, defensive tackle, needed somebody next to Quinnen Williams, couple guys there. Needed a starting safety. That was number five. At six, we had wide receiver. Garrett Wilson, fantastic. Alan Lazard, we'll see if he can be better with Aaron Rodgers, but we don't have that much true veteran ability in that room outside of those two guys. So six, wide receiver, a big need there. Number seven, I had running back because Breece Hall's great, but behind him, I don't trust anybody. You always want to have a stable of guys, an opportunity to use somebody else, give Breece a break, pick up that short yardage, 1 yard, 2 yards, or goal line work that Breece isn't excellent at. So I wanted a running back. Then numbers eight and nine, kicker and punter, because we didn't have one on the roster. Aside from that, it was basically just rotational players that we needed. Number 10 was defensive end, 11 was tight end, 12 linebacker, and the least important position was cornerback for the Jets. So that was all going into free agency. The question is, how did Joe Douglas use that salary cap space, navigate this market and waves of free agent players, all these names we see going here, going there, switching spots, changing landscapes of entire organizations? How did Joe navigate it for this Jets team in 2024, where expectations are high. Aaron Rodgers is coming back. We have a window here. Is he going to capitalize? That's what we are going to get into. But before we do, I want to take a quick pit stop at the cooler for a little What's on Tap. That is right, folks. I do want to do a quick What's on Tap because I'm drinking something a little crazy today. I don't really even understand what it is. But essentially, here in Southington, Connecticut, where I live, there is an absolutely fantastic sushi restaurant called Masago 35. It is the best sushi I've ever had in my life. And we went there right when it opened up. Me and my wife, Shannon, met the owners, left a review on Google Reviews or whatever, just saying how good it was. And then since then, the owners are just the coolest with us and give us free stuff all the time. And we got takeout, I don't know, a week or two ago. And the owner threw in this bottle of, it's called Hana Awaka Sparkling Yuzu, which means very little to me, but it's 5% alcohol. It is also 2.8% juice, and it's a Japanese, here's the ingredients. It's water, it's sake, sugar, yuzu juice, citric acid, and carbon dioxide. So it's like a sparkling lemon sake that tastes, honestly, pretty horrible. This thing, I keep drinking it because I opened it. 34 grams of sugar in this bottle, which is 8 ounces. So super small. It's like smaller than a beer can. It's got 34 freaking grams of sugar in it. And it basically tastes like a lemon version of if your orange juice went bad in the fridge, started fermenting a little bit, and you drank it. That's what it tastes like. So it isn't good. And I'm not enjoying it. But it was free, and I wanted to try it. A little Hana Awaka Sparkling Yuzu. I like lemon-flavored stuff. But this thing just tastes like so much freaking sugar. And I don't know. I don't know if I'm supposed to drink it hot or cold or over ice or cut it with something. Maybe I'm not even supposed to be drinking it straight. I'm drinking it out of the bottle, this 8-ounce bottle that I got. But I can't confirm if that's the proper way. Either way, it's 5% alcohol, so we're getting where we need to go. I appreciate it from May from Masago 35, a fantastic treat. That is this week's What's on Tap. A little different for me, but I didn't have anything special in the fridge. Figured this was the best way to go. That is this week's What's on Tap. Before we get over to how Joe Douglas navigated free agency, we do have to take a quick commercial break.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Alrighty, and welcome back to This Is The Jet Life. So as discussed, we are going to go over the positions of need that the Jets had coming into free agency in reverse order, and then talk about how Joe Douglas either has or has not addressed the position, and if there are any opportunities for them to do so moving forward. All right, so starting with number 13, the least important need, cornerback, the Jets actually did make a move here. Bryce Hall's not under contract anymore. He's probably not coming back, so the Jets did need to replace him. Javelin Guidry's not here anymore either. They went for a backup nickelback that potentially could play a little bit outside named Isaiah Oliver. He's a 27-year-old. They're paying $2.5 million for 1 year. He was a second-round pick back in 2018 by the Atlanta Falcons, so he's played with Jeff Ulbrich. Ulbrich was part of that Atlanta Falcons staff back then, has worked with Isaiah Oliver, and the guy basically plays nickelback, but he's had some decent grades in the past. He's young. He's potentially a scrappy guy, and when you're looking at like a replacement for a Bryce Hall or a Javelin Guidry, you're not looking for a stud or a star. You're looking for somebody that can just get the job done. And honestly, the Jets used like Tay Hayes and some ridiculous players last year when Sauce and DJ Reed were out. And we made it work and actually put up a pretty good defensive game because the system itself works. The pass rush, everything all works together. I think a guy like Isaiah Oliver could find some success here playing in that Bryce Hall type of role. If he's called on, we'll see what he can bring us. So that's cornerback. Number 12, the need of linebacker. The Jets didn't do anything here except for the C.J. Mosley extension. And this was not an important position for the team because we already have a full unit under contract. We've got our Chaz Surratt and Jamie and Sherwood. We've got C.J. Mosley, Zaire Barnes, Quincy Williams. So nothing needed to be done there. The reason that I had it ahead of cornerback was because I want to use these last couple years of C.J. Mosley to get the right young guys in there that he can give his wisdom to and teach and train so that hopefully when C.J. Mosley leaves, we have another fantastic linebacker take the spot, be able to command that defense. Maybe it's Quincy Williams, but it'd be nice to have another guy as well. So that's the only reason I had it ahead of cornerback. But we haven't done anything there, and I don't expect much to happen at this point in time. The number 11 need was tight end. Here, the Jets re-signed Kenny Yeboah. This is a guy that we've seen for a while because he was an undrafted free agent from Ole Miss in 2021 by the Jets. He's got only 4 career receptions and 64 receiving yards, basically all garbage time stuff. But we saw him make a couple preseason, you know, Hail Mary catch. He's done a couple really nice special teams plays in the regular season as well. I think one of the biggest values that Yeboah brings to the team is that special teams play. So if he keeps ascending, you know, he's a guy that's been here. He's not getting paid much. Not a lock to make the final roster, but a guy that we have here today behind Rucker and Tyler Conklin. So welcome back, Kenny Yeboah. At number 10, we do need some rotational defensive ends. We've got 4 guys right now. We've got our starters in JFM and Jermaine Johnson. Then behind that, we got Michael Clemens and Will McDonald. That's 4 guys, but you don't really trust Michael Clemens because he was getting worse last year. Will McDonald doesn't play the run very well and is very young and raw still. So who do you have in that rotation outside of Jermaine Johnson and JFM that you can really trust? The Jets haven't made a big move yet here. They obviously lose Carl Lawson. Bryce Huff signed with the Eagles for 3 years, $51 million with $34 million guaranteed. So where are you going to get some production, specifically in the run game? And I look at a guy like Jadeveon Clowney, who came into the Jets for a visit. Joe Douglas said there were very productive talks, but to this point, Clowney has not made any sort of decision on where he's going to go. Clowney would be perfect for the Jets. Of course, he'd be part of a rotation. He'd have to share some snaps and everything. But that guy is fantastic against the run. He's basically a run-first defensive end that still somehow puts up 8 sacks. Right? He had a really nice year for the Ravens last year. I think he came into the NFL with so much hype around him that he didn't like live up to the expectations of being some freak pass rusher. But what he is just a very, very good veteran who gets the job done, understands football at a very high level. Having him on that defensive line, it would make the defense absolutely hum. He would be perfect. If they can't get him, there are some less expensive options, of course, right? Something the Jets could do in the draft. They always seem to draft a defensive end one way or another, whether it's first round or third round or fifth round. They always go after their end, so I'm hoping it's Clowney. That's the big one right now, but they obviously do need somebody in that rotation. We'll see how they address it. Number 9 need, we needed a punter. We didn't have one, so what do? They go out and get a guy that won our hearts last year, the one and only Thomas Morstead, coming back, this time a 2-year, $5.1 million deal, with $2.2 million guaranteed. So he's basically going to be our kicker this year, and then if he's still got it when he's older, next year he's going to be, what, 38, 39 years old next year. If he's still got it, he can punt again. If not, we can cut him. No loss. He was really good for the Jets last year, really good at pinning guys back inside the 5-yard line. Did that a number of times, which was awesome to see. Got the Jets set up for a lot of safeties, basically directly turning into points for the team that were very hard to come by last year. So really good. Glad that he's getting another opportunity here. He's going to give his number 5 jersey to Garrett Wilson. Garrett Wilson has been 17 for his whole career, but he wants to be switching to number 5. So Morstead's going to give him 5 and then wear number 6, I think. So just a little update there with Morstead, but happy to have him back, of course. His partner in crime on the special teams unit, Greg Zuerlein, is coming back to fill our number 8 need of kicker. Greg also signs a 2-year deal. His is worth $8.4 million with $4.2 million guaranteed. So the same situation as Morstead. Guaranteed to be the kicker this year. Next year, nothing guaranteed. We don't have to keep him. It's up to Joe Douglas to see how he kicked. If he continues it, we got him. If not, we move on. It's a really good signing for the Jets because their line was money last year. He kicked 35 of 38 field goals through the uprights, 92%, which is nuts. I look for 80% to be happy with the kicking game. If you're over 85, fantastic. If you're over 90, that's nuts. And with the Jets offense, Greg was asked to kick some long kicks. It's not like we always were kicking from the 30-yard line and it was these little dinky things. And the Jets were constantly getting into the red zone and just not scoring. It's like we were kicking from, it felt like midfield a lot. And Greg was nailing them. So great to have him back. I know it seems like a lot, 2 years, $8.4 million, but just $4.2 million a year, it actually puts him at the middle of the pack for kickers these days. There's a lot of guys making $5 million, $6 million a year, even high fours. So it's not like it's breaking the bank. The number seven need of running back, nothing's been done here yet. There's no news. There's no rumors. There haven't been any names circling the Jets, really. The question is, are they going to draft a guy, or are they going to go with a free agent who's potentially a veteran in the league? Last year, they drafted Izzy Abanaconda, who maybe has some upside to him, for sure. But he's not really a guy that a lot of us trust right now. We didn't see enough of him playing consistent minutes or important minutes with the starting unit and being a guy that we could rely on at all. And then behind him, you've got like Xavien Valade, who's a practice squad guy who's bounced around the league but never really played. Nick Bawden's a fullback. I mean, you'd think they'd do something here. And would they rely on the draft again when they don't have a second-round pick and there's a couple needs that they want to get for depth? Do they really want to have to go to the draft and get another rookie running back and hope that between Izzy Abanaconda and another rookie that there's a guy that you want to give a lot of handoffs to and actually trust to hold on to the football, pick up yardage and stuff? It just seems risky to me. It just feels like a position that, given the market and how cheap the position is, it would be something that would be done in free agency. And I look at guys that are available right now. I'm looking at a guy like Ezekiel Elliott, who probably would be a little bit overpaid, but the guy picks up 1-2 yards very, very well. He's not a flashy dude. He's not going to get you 50 yarders, but he can get you the yard or two, the touchdown, the first down when you need it. Breece Hall's not great at that. I think he'd be a good compliment. If you want to go with some upside, a little bit more risk, J.K. Dobbins has been injured basically his whole career, but the guy has a lot of ability that we saw at Ohio State. Haven't seen enough of him in the NFL yet, but he's still young, coming back healthy this year, and he's played with a couple of our offensive linemen already. He's a guy the Jets could look at if they feel like being a little risky there. And then if they want to go cheap, bargain, veteran, Josh Kelly is going to be available or is available right now. So he's a guy that we could look at as well, just to bring in veteran presence to that running back room. The other option for the Jets is to not draft anybody, not pick up anybody in free agency right now, but wait until training camp cuts come, because everybody's going to have, you know, 4, 5, 6 running backs on the roster through preseason. And then when you cut the roster down from 90 to 53, there's going to be a bunch of them that are cut. And the Jets could wait and find a guy that played pretty well in preseason, but a team only wants to carry 2 or 3 backs going into the season, and they can address it that way. So there's definitely some options for running back, but they do have to do something at some point. So that is the first few needs for this team and how Joe Douglas has addressed it to this point. From here on out, need number 6 through 1, these are big-time positions that we really needed to address, and a lot of them, we got some big-time players. There's a lot of good stuff, a lot of meat coming in these top 6 position groups in need. Joe Douglas did a fantastic job, in my opinion, of free agency thus far, and we're going to get into all that. But before we do, I do want to check in with my dad and see what his thoughts on this whole free agency and Joe Douglas and 2024 plan, how it's looking right now. We haven't heard from my dad since last season was going on. We missed him last week. Let's check in with him. This week's Father Time, written by my dad, David Burnham. Here we go. The 2024 version of the New York Jets looks to be a very good one. Joe Douglas has filled the holes on the O-line with seasoned veterans on team-favorable short-term contracts. It's a nice mix of young and, again, seasoned players. This could help to fuel an exciting season. JD also brought in a perfect complement to Garrett Wilson. Mike Williams is big, strong, and physical, and he's also on a 1-year contract, and also at a reasonable price. We've fortified the defensive line and secondary and now have a legitimate battle-tested quarterback to back up our recuperated starter. And the draft is in a month. things, again, look great. If everything goes right, this could be a very fun season. But a few bumps and the Jets can be derailed. And here's the thing. All of these signings, including Rodgers, are short-term. Most, if not all, won't even be on the Jets in a year or two. So, Joe Douglas needs to hit on this draft. Because young talent builds long-term continuity and depth weathers impending storms. Because all the above free agent moves will be footnotes without a successful draft. The long-in-the-tooth veteran additions, ones like Smith, Samson, and Moses, rebuilding the wall, and the Mike Williams addition should be considered bridge players. That's all. They're only placeholders for the upcoming young, long-term starters that need to populate the Jets roster soon. Without the continued infusion of young, quality players, these veteran moves are band-aids for now, and not bridges to the future. Go Jets. End scene. So, wow. My dad, he calls it how he sees it. He hit the nail on the head here, right? Because the Jets are in this situation where I think for a lot of Jets fans, it feels like we won the free agency yet again. It felt like we won it last year. The season got derailed by horrible, horrible, super unlucky injuries, and the season kind of sucked. This year, we're going in with probably an even better roster than last year. But again, we're picking up these guys, these Aaron Rodgers, these Mike Williams, these offensive line contracts that are one, 2 seasons at most. So all of these players at 33 years old, 34 years old, in Aaron Rodgers' case, like 40 years old, these players aren't part of the long-term vision. That's about winning right now. But the question is, when the Jets move on in 2 years from this bulk of players that they're bringing in right now for short-term deals, is the team going to go back to being a horrible, talent-deprived team that can't win games? Or are they going to then transition into another quarterback and keep at the top, right? Are they building long-term success here with Joe Douglas? That's the plan. That's the dream. That's what I've been hoping for a very long time with the team. But we don't know. 2 things need to happen. Number one, the team right now needs to stay healthy so that we can see it at its full potential. This on-paper team is fantastic. We got to see it. Number two, we do have to hit on the draft, just like my dad said. Super important to bring in more young talent. And through these free agency additions, the Jets really don't have any open positions for starters right now. There really is not a position that you can look at in the draft today and say if the Jets drafted that position, they'd be the starter week one. I can't see anybody. Unless you want to call, you know, the third wide receiver a guy that would be part of the starting unit. But in reality, there's not a lot of openings. We're going to be drafting for depth, and we're going to have that luxury that Jets fans have never had before. Where it feels like every year we're drafting a player and we need them to be good. We need them to be an impact player because we need talent on the team. This year, we're going to be able to draft a guy that potentially can sit or not be relied on right away and have an ability to learn. And when you look at the starters on this team, there's a lot of wily veterans that have a lot of information to add and will be starting ahead of that rookie, the rookies that we get. So this is a great opportunity to let a guy actually learn and become good in the league instead of just throwing him into the fire and watching him fail, which has happened so many times for us. We got to stay healthy. We got to draft well. My dad hit the nail on the head. This is all just like a bridge thing right now. This is going to be a fun season. Last year was going to be a fun season. It wasn't. Got unlucky. This year, if we can get lucky finally, it will be a fun season. But after that, it's back to the drawing board. And what kind of core do you have built through these young players? Remains to be seen. So a great father time for my dad. Excitement for sure, temperate for sure, and more work to be done. We got a team that we're building for this year, as in the background, we're building a team for 2026 and 2027 as well. So very cool, Dad. Thank you for this week's Father Time. Always appreciate it. Now, before we get to the last 6 positions that the Jets addressed in free agency, we do have to take a quick commercial break. Alrighty, and welcome back to This is the Jet Life. We're going through our positions the Jets have addressed. It's time to go to the number 6 most important need for this team in 2024, and that was wide receiver. And the Jets made a big old splash here, getting a player who, when free agency began, wasn't even available. The Chargers cut Mike Evans for salary cap purposes. The team is in cap hell. They weren't able to retain Keenan Allen either. Unfortunately for Justin Herbert, his receivers are going elsewhere. And Mike Williams is coming to the Jets. And when he became available, he was one of those guys that every single Jets fan was thinking, ooh, this would be a fun one to add for this unit. He'd be a perfect complement to Garrett Wilson, as my dad said. He'd be a very nice, big-time jump ball receiver for Aaron Rodgers that you know he loves to use. And the Jets were able to pull in Mike Williams for a one-year deal worth up to $15 million. So a lot of it's going to be incentive-based, a lot of stuff probably on performance and playing time. And Mike Williams, he's 29 years old, right? He's had a very nice career, 48 career 100 yards, 31 touchdowns. He has two seasons of over 1,000 receiving yards. So something, you know, a resume that not a lot of receivers from the Jets typically have. The scary part about him is that he's coming back from an ACL tear from September of last year. It's like the third or fourth week of the season in September. He tears his ACL, he's out for the year. Now, at this point in time, he can't perform, right? It's March, though, so he doesn't have to. When training camps come, the question is he going to be able to be practicing with the team, or is he going to be doing rehab? Is he going to be in the workout zone? Obviously, you want him getting chemistry with Aaron Rodgers before the season. You want him 100% back and ready. You want him to be at full speed as he was before the ACL injury. But we don't know any of that until training camps and everything start. So the hope is that Mike Williams is ahead of schedule. He seems to say that he is, and that he can play for week one and be ready to roll with this team. If he does, and if he can, this guy, like I said, is going to be a perfect receiver for Aaron Rodgers. He's a great deep ball tracker. He gets those jump balls, big body receiver, right? He kind of plays like a Davante Adams. Davante is probably a little bit faster, a little bit smoother, gets a little bit more separation. When I look at Mike Williams, he's not known for yards after catch. He's not known for separation, but he's got incredible hands. And he's so good at turning and contorting his body at the last second for those back shoulder throws, those sideline plays, getting his hands up, high pointing the ball. And it's stuff that Aaron Rodgers is really good at trusting his receivers to do. Also, if you throw a ball deep downfield, Mike Williams is very good at coming up with it. Very tough catches to make. He does it time and time again. So to have a healthy Mike Williams on this team with Aaron Rodgers will be a ton of fun to watch. Mike Williams is a big chunk receiver, you know. Not on the ground, not yards after catch, but for his career, he's averaging 15.6 yards per reception. And the average depth of target on those throws is always, every single season he's played, over 11 yards. He doesn't get little bubble screens and run. He's not a quick little chippy slot guy. He's like, get me 15, 20 yards downfield, the middle of the field, big body guy that's ready to stand in the middle, catch the ball. Man, we just need him to be healthy, get through training camp, get some chemistry with Rodgers, ball out this year. He's betting on himself, right? He's doing a one-year deal, coming back from the ACL. He thinks he can do well this year, go back into free agency, and get a bigger long-term contract with the team. What drew him here was the opportunity to play with Aaron Rodgers. He said that he thinks that he can learn a lot from Aaron Rodgers. He wanted to play for him, thinks it'd be very cool. He also thinks that Garrett Wilson's the perfect complement to him, kind of like how he had Keenan Allen opposite of him in San Diego and Los Angeles. He thinks that Garrett Wilson plays like Keenan Allen, kind of a route runner, and I definitely see the similarities and could be a great complement to him here. So very excited to have Mike Williams. That's a big-time move. It's also great because it pushes Lazard down the depth chart to wide receiver 3. It pushes Xavier Gibson down the depth chart right now to wide receiver 4, which are positions that both of those guys belong. And we still have an opportunity to add another guy in free agency or the draft. And aside from that, Corey Davis decided to come out of retirement. The Jets had the rights to his contract. It was to be paid what he was being paid before. So the Jets release him. They don't owe him any money. It doesn't sound like he's going to come back to the Jets. He probably wants to play somewhere closer to home in like the Tennessee area. So while I was very excited to get Corey Davis back when he came out of retirement, I was like, man, let's get this guy. Mike Williams is a much better addition to this team and kind of just like a better version of Corey Davis. So that is the big wide receiver news. Great for this team. The safety position was a massive position of need for the team because we didn't have a starter next to Tony Adams. Jordan Whitehead's going back to the Bucs. Ashton Davis is still, at this point in time, a free agent. So the Jets elect to re-sign the one and only Chuck Clark, who never got to play a game for the Jets last year. The Jets traded with the Ravens to to bring him in to be a starting safety for them, or at least like a money back or a position that could be moved around the field. He's a great signal caller, great teammate and everything, a true veteran, knows the game, but he got injured in training camp, never touched the field, never played for us. So the hope is right now that he's going to be healthy and able to play. And if so, it looks like he would be the starter opposite of Tony Adams, because the only other safety under contract right now is, if you want to consider Jerick Bernard Converse, a safety. He was injured last year, didn't play much. When he did, didn't stand out. They've got like a practice squad guy like Trey Dean who could potentially play, but he seems like a guy that might be a little bit too slow for the NFL. We'll probably have an opportunity to see him in training camp again and in preseason. And if he stands out, perhaps he can win that role, right? Guys like Tony Adams have won a role like that on this team before. It's not outside of the question, but Chuck Clark getting a one-year deal worth $2 million with only $700,000 guaranteed doesn't scream, this is our starter. He's definitely a plan for the future to me. It looks like they're giving him an opportunity to come back and try to get healthy, and if for any reason he's not healthy and he can't play for this team, they don't owe him too much money. So we got to wait and see his progress and see if he ends up being that solution for the Jets at safety. Obviously, they're not going to go in with just two guys, so I expect them to make a move somewhere. I'd like them to get Ashton Davis back. It wouldn't shock me to see them address the position in the draft, because there's a decent safety group this year, but none of them are like blue chip players. They're not first round, really, even second round guys. There's a lot of guys third, fourth, fifth round that are like good safeties that potentially the Jets could go after. So we'll see how the Jets address that. There's still a few good guys on the market too. I mean, there were like 70 free agent safeties. There are still stars out there. There's like Eddie Jackson's and Jamal Adams, if you want to deal with that headache again, Quandre Diggs. True big-time names are available right now. I think Joe Douglas will do something to bring somebody in. The number four most important need, defensive tackle. The Jets needed some people to rotate in there with and for and next to Quinnen Williams. Everybody that goes next to Quinnen Williams has flourished, right? We saw Foley Fatakasi play well, get paid. Sheldon Rankins play well, get paid. We saw career years from Quentin Jefferson, from Solomon Thomas. It seems like everybody that plays in that defensive line in this defense next to Quinnen does fantastic. So the Jets needed to bring in some guys to do that because we were losing Big Al Woods, Quentin Jefferson, and Solomon Thomas. They re-signed Solomon Thomas for a one-year, $1.75 million fully guaranteed contract. Nice and cheap. The guy's coming off his career-high 5 sacks. He was our Jets man of the year, and he can rotate on that defensive line. They also bring in a run stuffer that to me is kind of like the Big Al Woods replacement. This is Leki Fotu, who is a, like I said, run stuffing specialist coming from Arizona. The guy's only 25 years old. He's coming from a Cardinals team that obviously wasn't very good, but he's 6'5", 335 pounds, big Samoan dude, signed a one-year, $2.5 million deal with 2.1 guaranteed. So not super expensive, but comes in there, fills that one-year role that we saw from a Sheldon Rankins, from a Big Al Woods. The Jets seem to rotate these guys, and everybody they put in there seems to do well. I think Leki Fotu is probably a better player overall at this point in his career than Big Al Woods at age 33, 34. So I'm excited to have him and see what he can do next to Quinnen Williams in that run game. When you look at the guy that's replacing Quentin Jefferson, kind of more of a pass rush specialist next to Quinnen Williams, the Jets go after Javon Kinlaw. And this is by far the most controversial signing that the Jets made in this offseason, because he signs a one-year, $7.25 million deal with $6.9 million guaranteed. That's a very big deal for a guy like Javon Kinlaw that hasn't really done much at the NFL level. Now, he's only getting a $2.85 million cap hit this year in 2024, so not horrible, but they put void years on, so he's going to get $4 million of dead cap money next year in 2025. So we're going to be paying for Javon Kinlaw when he's not even here, probably. And that might be a really frustrating thing to have to do, especially if he doesn't have a good year this year. But the Jets are banking on this guy being good for them. Back in 2020, Javon Kinlaw was the 14th overall pick in the 2020 draft. That's a crazy high spot to be drafted. Obviously, the 49ers, when they took him, thought he had a ton of talent and could play really well at this level. And he hasn't really panned out yet. Ulbrich and Sala were with him in San Francisco, so they know the guy. But Javon Kinlaw was injured for the first few years of his career, hasn't really played all that much, and then played a little bit more last year, rotated through that 49ers defense, didn't really get relied on a ton, kind of lost favor with some of the coaching staff perhaps, and, you know, didn't have a huge year. But the Jets are banking on this guy to come in here, be healthy, and play at a high level. And when you look at it on paper, you're like, man, Javon Kinlaw kind of sucks, and that's a big contract for him. I don't know if I like it. But when you think about the fact that Ulbrich and Saleh know him, and that he is an athletic freak who was drafted 14th overall, he obviously had some intrinsic value that was just like, man, you can't find guys like this. We got to take him first round, right? And you put him next to Quinnen Williams, the ceiling for Javon Kinlaw is definitely very high, much higher than Quentin Jefferson was. I think Quentin Jefferson had a better floor because the guy stayed healthy and he was really good for us last year. But if Javon Kinlaw can go next to Quinnen Williams, stay healthy, maximize his potential, he could be a real force on the defensive line. It would not shock me to see him making a big-time impact for us and us saying, like, holy shit, what a steal. This is that first-round pick. This is the guy the 49ers thought they were drafting. Finally healthy, finally in a system that works for him next to a player that brings out the best in him. So I'm excited to see what he can do. And it's a big contract. I don't like the dead money in 2025, but I like taking the risk on a guy like Javon Kinlaw. The number three need a big one for me, backup quarterback. I think the Jets absolutely had to raise the floor of this team. If Aaron Rodgers goes down, it couldn't be Trevor Siemian, Tim Boyle, Brett Rypien. Couldn't even be Zach Wilson if he plays the way that he did last year. We had to have a guy that can come in here and actually ball and keep the season afloat. They went out there and they got exactly that in one Tyrod Taylor, who signs a two-year, $12 million deal with $8.5 million guaranteed. So we're at least going to have him this year. Probably will have him next year as well. This guy is a true, legitimate, veteran backup quarterback with experience. I mean, the guy's a gamer, right? He made a Pro Bowl once, for crying out loud. He's 34 years old. This is going to be his seventh team. He's seen a lot. He knows the NFL. He's got decent mobility, a pretty good arm, smart, good teammate. I mean, you look at his career, 88.3 quarterback rating, 65 career touchdowns, 29 interceptions. That's like better than any of the Jets quarterbacks of the last 30 years, aside from Chad Pennington and Vinny Testaverde. But like, those are pretty good numbers. The only issues with him is that he has trouble staying healthy, right? He's missed a lot of games over his career. And if he gets hurt and Rodgers gets hurt, all of a sudden, like, your backup guy is kind of a risk to be on the field. That doesn't feel great. But if they can keep him healthy, he's the guy that, you know, you want him to play two, three, four games to spell Aaron Rodgers at some point in the season. You can go to war. You can win with Tyrod Taylor. With this defense, with this team, absolutely. The product would be much, much better. Assuming the offensive line isn't a nightmare again, the product would be much better than we saw with a Zach Wilson getting flustered or any sort of not really athletic or talented Siemian or Tim Boyle. I mean, this is a real backup quarterback. So I love it. I love it for the team. And that if something does happen, the season's not entirely shot. We got two guys that I think could take the Jets to the playoffs. The number two most important need, and this is coupled with the number one most important need, we needed offensive line badly. At number two, we needed interior offensive line. The Jets have had massive offensive line issues. We cut Laken Tomlinson to save like $8 million. AVT's been injured and banged up. Tippmann missed a game or two. Wes Schweitzer was banged up last year. We needed some people in there. The offensive line has to be a wall. We needed Aaron Rodgers, who's 40 years old, to be healthy and able to stand back there and throw. Get it to our receivers. We need Breece Hall to have big running lanes. We need this offense to roll, and it's got to roll through the O-line. And to do that, build the wall. The Jets go after a great left guard for this free agency class in one John Simpson, who signs a two-year, $12 million deal with $6 million guaranteed. So he's guaranteed for this year. We can decide if we want him back for $6 million next year. When you look at John Simpson's tape, this guy is a pretty good player. He played with the Ravens at left guard last year, and he does a lot of things that I really like. He can pull really well. He can get downfield. He finishes to the whistle, knocks guys over. He makes plays from left guard that you're just like, if you watch it, some clips of him. You're like, man, those are plays that we would never see from, you know, a Dan Feeney or a maybe even Laken Tomlinson, what we've been getting. Like, these are some nice, athletic, good footwork plays. He's also a pretty strong player, and he's young. The guy's only 26 years old, still getting better. The one issue, I guess, with him is when you look at his penalties, there were a lot last year. When you look at the sacks given up, there was a decent amount as well. But you got to take it with a grain of salt, because when you're on the Baltimore Ravens offensive line and you're blocking for Lamar Jackson, it is very, very difficult. The guy not only stands in the pocket sometimes for 6-7 seconds holding onto the football, but he runs back and forth from the left to the right, trying to get away from pass rushers, right? But if you're blocking and you don't know where your quarterback is behind you and you think you need to block to the left, and all of a sudden he runs to the left and now you have to block to the right, but the guy's in position to go after the quarterback, that creates a situation where you either let the guy go after the quarterback or you hold them. Lamar Jackson does this so much, it puts them in some unfavorable spots, so I take it with a grain of salt when I see those penalties, when I see those sacks given up. Lamar Jackson's a great player, but he's a very confusing player to block for sure. He's one of the most, you never know where he's going to be on the field, players in the league. Aaron Rodgers, you got a much better feel for where he's going to be. I think it'll be a little bit easier for John Simpson. And if you can put him in there next to a good player like Tippmann, and then next to one of these, this fantastic left tackle we signed, I think he could be all right. So I'm very, very pleased to have John Simpson coming to the Jets. That was the first massive offensive line move the Jets needed to make. They needed to make another offensive line move, though. They needed to add a tackle. We didn't know where Elijah Vera Tucker was going to be playing this year. Would it be guard? Would it be offensive tackle? We at least needed one tackle for sure. Possibly something we could address in the draft. But the Jets go out and they get two tackles. Two good veteran bookends. And I couldn't be more excited. First one the Jets do, they trade for Morgan Moses, who we all remember from playing 1 year with the Jets in 2021. He was a good player for us, a good serviceable year, and then he goes and plays for the Ravens in 2022 and 2023. The Jets only had to give up a fourth-round pick swap with the Ravens, so we move back a little bit in that fourth round, and then we give up one of the compensatory sixth-round picks that we got. Not a big deal. And we add Morgan Moses, who's got 1 year left under contract, $5.5 million. I mean, the guy is cheap. The guy is experienced. He plays right tackle. He's a true right tackle. So now that you've got him at right tackle, Elijah Vera Tucker's going back to right guard, which is probably his best position and where he should be. That means Tippmann stays at center. Everything works out perfectly this way. Morgan Moses is 33 years old, so he's not a long-term option. He's only on a one-year deal, so again, not long-term. He had a couple injuries last year. I guess he played through a torn pec for a lot of the season, which is good on him, but, you know, painful. He also had, like, I think a shoulder injury, missed a couple games. Hopefully he's 100% healthy, gets the surgeries he needs, is ready for the season, can be a good bookend right tackle for the Jets for at least this one season for Aaron Rodgers. I love the signing. I loved Morgan Moses when he was here. Great to have him back. He seems excited to be here. And he pairs up with his former teammate, John Simpson, who came from Baltimore as well. So we get two of those Ravens O-linemen. And that's a great start to rebuilding this offensive line. But if that wasn't good enough, the Jets go out and make, in my opinion, the biggest move of this entire free agency for the team. And that's signing the left tackle, Tyron Smith. 1 year deal worth up to $20 million with a base value of only $6.5 million. Tyron Smith is such a good signing for this team, especially when you pair it with a John Simpson and a Morgan Moses. You're talking about, on paper, a great offensive line right now. Tyron Smith is 33 years old, and he's on this one-year deal, but he's literally one of the best left tackles of this century. He has been so freaking good for the Cowboys. Every single year, he's been like the pinnacle of, like, that's what a left tackle should be. That's what strength, footwork, power, everything that you're looking for in a left tackle, that's what Tyron Smith is. All of those years when you heard about, like, oh, the Cowboys have one of the best offensive lines in the entire league was because of a guy like Tyron Smith being there as that left tackle. The only possible blemish on Tyron Smith's resume in his career is that he's been injured a lot. He was missing some time in 2022, missing some time in 2021, but the good news is he was healthy last year in 23. He was a free agent this year. He decided to take this contract with the Jets for only $6.5 million. That's going to be worth $20 million based entirely on playing time. It's basically broken down into, like, if he's at, you know, 30% of snaps, he gets $7 million. If he's at 36% of snaps, he gets $8 million. If he plays 42%, it's like every 6% of the snaps he plays, he gets another $1 million. So for him, obviously, he needs to try to stay on the field. If he plays 17 games, he's absolutely worth $20 million. If he only plays, you know, 3, 4, 5 games, he's only worth the $6 million he gets. So Joe Douglas got the best free agent left tackle option to sign a deal that is so team-friendly and only gets paid out if the player gives us the return that we're looking for. And I couldn't be more excited about it. I mean, I need him to stay healthy, right? It's a risky move. A lot of these moves the Jets are making are like, you're betting on injured players to stay healthy. But if everything falls the right way, which it never seems to for the Jets, but if finally it's our year and it does, and we don't get the injury bug and we don't get unlucky, Tyron Smith, holy smokes. He's going to make John Simpson's life easier. He's going to help train guys like Elijah Vera Tucker and Joe Tippmann, who are young. And potentially the Jets go in to the draft and they're able to draft either a first or a third round offensive lineman that can be behind those players and actually learn, get their head under their shoulders and figure out what the heck is going on in the NFL, learn some footwork, learn some play schemes and stuff, and be ready to dominate for the future. So we have our launching pad, our bridge for this year. We've got a very fun on-paper team. You know, you look through all 13 of those positions and the moves the Jets made, I think that the Jets were the winners of free agency yet again. We say this almost every year, it feels like, right? Everyone makes fun of the Jets. Oh, you guys always win free agency and never win in the actual real games. And they're right. We haven't had a good season in a very long time. And we do make a lot of splashy plays and splashy moves in the offseason and think to ourselves like, oh my gosh, we finally did it. But when you look at the moves that were made, they all make sense. They all have risk. They're all short term, but they all make sense for this year. And I'm so excited to see what they can possibly do and the ability to go into this draft with more flexibility and the opportunity to learn and get these guys ready. So I'm super stoked for it. Free agency continues. It never really ends. You can always add new players that aren't under contract, but obviously the first wave or two have happened already, so not a ton of crazy stuff. I'm waiting for Jadeveon Clowney, hoping the Jets can pull that one off, maybe a running back or safety. But from here, it's waiting for those bargain moves, getting some players back maybe, and then on to the draft. So the schedule is going to be, as I said, probably going to do a podcast on April 16th, like a draft preview. Get some thoughts from my dad, who's been studying the draft this year as well. This is actually a really exciting draft for the Jets because there are so many different ways that they can go and so many talented players that are going to be available at 10. And there's so many different ways that the teams ahead of them can go. It's just a lot of excitement for this one. So I'm looking forward to that draft preview. And then shortly after the draft is over, we're going to do a draft review, talk about all the players that we got, and then take a break until training camp. If you're looking for more thoughts and ideas and stuff from me in the meantime, follow me on Twitter at Jets_Dan. DM me, talk to me on the post, whatever. I'm always happy to talk New York Jets football. And that's really all I got for this one. I'm having fun. I know it's just March. I know it's a weird time to get excited for football. But every year, they find a way to pull me back in. And I'm honestly one of Joe Douglas' biggest fans. I think that exists right now because a lot of people don't like what we've seen. I love it. I love what he's built. I just don't know if we're going to get to see it in action. We didn't get to see it last year. I hope we get to see it this year because if we can see the freaking thing that he's built and his vision actually come to life, man, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So thank you for joining me on this one. Remember to rate, review, subscribe to this podcast anywhere podcasts are found. And join me on my next podcast previewing the NFL Draft. Thank you, everybody. I'm Dan Burnham, and this is The Jet Life.